Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Now, whether you've been a longtime subscriber or this is your first time coming across the Pursuit of Manliness, let me say welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. Now, there's a couple things I want you to know. When you get the opportunity, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole library of podcast episodes, see what's available in our gear store, learn about other ministries. But I also want to remind you, today's podcast is sponsored by Joy Light Coffee Roasters out of Topeka, Kansas. Right now, Joy Light Coffee Roasters has a Quiet Life blend. I told you a couple months ago this was coming. Well, it is here, and you can get it on the website for just $15.20. But if you put in the discount code POM10, not only will you save 10% off your order, but they'll know where you're coming from. Now, this Quiet Life blend, Jack describes it as nutty, cinnamon, dark cocoa, bold, and full body. Now, at first I thought he was talking about me, but he's talking about the coffee. Man, this stuff is incredible, and some of you already know about it. I love hearing from the sponsors when they say, man, you guys are fantastic. Man, these guys are buying this stuff. I love interacting with them, and I just say, I told you. It's a kingdom win. So, men, make sure you check out the link in the show notes to Joy Light Coffee Roasters. Now it's time for today's podcast episode.
Well, let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for Mark. I thank you for the ability for us to connect in this fashion. As we pray often, we thank you for technology. It allows guys like us to connect like this, and we know that there are guys going down the road in their truck who are going to be walking the dog or maybe, you know, on a hike somewhere who listen to the show. God, we hear all kinds of really unique stories and how you use these things, whether it's social media, whether it's an app or whatever, for your glory. And we live in a time where we can redeem this stuff for you as long as you get the credit. And God, I thank you for what Mark is doing. I thank you for what we're going to learn about. And probably, God, a lot of things will be revealed to us that maybe we weren't aware of, projects or opportunities for us to just be better equipped with the gospel, better equipped with the Bible, and just all the things that iBible's got going on. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, men, at this time, I want to welcome Mark Harper to the podcast. Mark, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's always a joy for me to talk about movies and film and how we can advance the gospel and the kingdom through that. So,
now listen, I'm not a movie guy, and I know about six of them, but I am a fan of what you guys do. This is not about me. This is about what you guys do. But I want to know more about you, who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into what all these projects you got going on.
Sure. I mean, probably like a lot of your guys and men in general, I grew up on television and movies. Loved going to the movie theater. Remember seeing Top Gun by myself because I think we had the day off for school or something, and mom was at work. I grew up in a single parent household, and I just remember sitting watching Top Gun and just like, okay, I'm going to be a Navy pilot, you know, I'm going to go join Air Force Academy, something. And I've just always loved movies, and it just sort of transports you to another place. And so I ended up, fast forward several years, I was a middle school student, snuck out of a church movie night. They were showing The Cross and the Switchblade, and my buddy and I thought we were pretty cool. We went to the mall across the street and hung out and snuck back in at the end. And when we snuck back in, they were handing out books as everyone was leaving. And it was the Run Baby Run book, which is by Nicky Cruz. And that's the Nicky Cruz was one of the gangsters that David Wilkerson reached in the Cross and the Switchblade movie. But anyway, just love movies. And God has a funny sense of humor. Years later, after being a youth pastor and loved showing movie clips to my youth group, I ended up working with a company and promoting church movie nights. So we did for Facing the Giants. About 7,000 churches that did church movie nights just in the first like year. And I've just been promoting movies for a long time. And I just think people have a affinity towards films and stories. And it's just an easy way to bring people together.
Now, if y'all didn't catch that, he just said David Wilkerson. You talk about the Hall of Fame. Like, man, those are names that you forget. You forget about guys like Keith Green, you know, whatever. Man, good on you. Did you read that book?
Oh yeah. I was fascinated by it. In fact, because the Nikki Cruz, The Cross and the Switchblade, is the David Wilkerson story, which is really a white guy going into the gangs preaching the gospel. But Nikki Cruz's version of the story is he grew up in Haiti with his parents cutting the heads off bats and blood rituals and voodoo. And so when he came into the gang culture, it was just like part of his identity that he just belonged to these guys. And so, no, amazing story. And then funny story with Revelation Media. The 50th anniversary was just about 3 years ago. I think it was during COVID 2020. And we were able to put that up online right after we launched the Pilgrim's Progress and served that film up to a lot of people that have never seen it. And man, you talk about retro, bell bottoms. it's worth a watch.
Amen. Amen.
Watchthecross.com, I think is the
watchthecross.com. Okay. Now I'm going to confess, we're going to talk about iBible. It's something that I'm aware of, but I'm going to be honest. I couldn't speak on. So just tell me what this is.
Yeah. So most people probably never heard of iBible. It's brand new. It's been in the works for 8 years. It first existed as 30-minute episodes called the Animated Bible Series. And while we were rolling out the movie, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is an animated story, which I want to tell your guys about here in a second. We came up with the idea of doing the storytelling differently. You know, you don't want to just plug your kids in front of the TV. They watch an animated episode for 30 minutes. They get so many different, there's so many different Bible stories, you know, within each chapter, how much of it really sticks and absorbs. And so we started the idea of telling a narrative. So that it's got two parts. One is the grand narrative. And so the trick question I use to introduce iBible to people is, how many stories are there in the Bible? And people will start to go, oh, I don't know, Old Testament, New Testament, there's 66 chapters. You know, there's got to be 500 stories. You know, they'll take a guess. And the answer is that there's really one story. You know, it's the story of God, and he created us and we fell away, and he redeemed us through Christ, restores us for eternity. That's the story. That's the grand narrative. And if we can see everything through that grand narrative, then we don't end up with this sort of self-centered story of, well, this is my life. And if I live it correctly and I accept Jesus, then I go up into heaven. And if I don't accept Jesus, I go to hell. That's a very self-centered way of looking at the story, instead of knowing that there's a Father that created all things and created us. And so the iBible is telling narrative stories of the Bible. It's not word for word scripture. But we also don't add any characters that aren't already in scripture. We don't add any words that aren't already in the Bible. And so it's we just actually got approved, gold seal of approval by SIL, which basically validates all Bible translations. And our Genesis scripts, we have 42 episodes of Genesis that we're launching on Easter. Those have all been approved. So we are actually now a visual Bible translation and an oral Bible translation, because you can see it on screen. You can watch it. You can hear it. And they call it motion comic. Mm-hmm. That's the format we chose, which not only works for young people, but when you're in the mission field and you're taking the Bible into a culture that might not have even heard some of these stories, it's just visually stunning. And it's we're very excited. We wanted to make it available for free to the world. I'm kind of baffled that in the 21st century, how do we not have a visual Bible? I think that was the intent of the Jesus film when it came out, but the Jesus film became such an important focus, and they've done an amazing job. It's been seen by more eyeballs than any other movie in history, but they didn't go do the rest of the story. And they didn't tell it from the beginning of creation and the Father. So it's just, I think it's going to be revolutionary. You know, if the gospel is completed, when we reach every tribe and every nation, it's probably not going to be a printed Bible because of how long it takes to create a printed Bible and how expensive and how a lot of the unreached people in the world can't even read and write. And so I think it will be a visual and oral Bible.
Okay, I got to tell you a real quick story. I picked my 11-year-old. My 11-year-old went to Ohio yesterday with his grandma, and he was with his cousins. And we said, "So, what'd you do? You had a friend over. They had a friend over in the neighborhood." He said, "We tried to save him." I said, "What does that mean? Like a lake? What happened?" They tried to convert this kid to Jesus. Which, you know, my 11-year-old, I was amazed. He said, "We tried to tell him the story of the Bible. We tried to," and he went through the whole thing. And I thought, "Well, that kid ain't never coming back over to their house, because they just laid it on him." I thought, I'm just thinking as you say that, you know, had he had this on his tablet or whatever, you're like, well, there it is. This is way more, you know, digestible to the person who may have no. You say on your site, approximately 66,000 people die each day having no access to the gospel.
That's right.
That is hard to even comprehend. And then I think, well, what am I doing to help that? So
yeah,
what do we do?
I think it's a great question. I think all of us that are sincere, dedicated Christ followers, we really want to share the truth, but how involved are we in getting a Bible into people's hands and helping them know who the author of the Bible is? And so iBible actually makes that easy. Every family can participate. So on Easter Day, we launched the app, and you can get it in the App Store. I will tell you, there's a lot of Bible apps, so you kind of have to scroll. You can type i.bible, which is actually our website, or you can type iBible Revelation Media, but you'll have to scroll to find it. But i.bible is probably the easiest way because there'll be a link to the app there. But no, this is exciting. This is something that when you think about how many people in the world have mobile phones, my wife and I are launching iBible in Bulgaria as one of the pilot countries. And we're distributing little QR codes that takes you right to the story. We did a short film called The Real Story of Jesus, and it's 9 minutes long. And so it's, you know, it says in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. So it's Jesus all throughout. So it's creation. It's the prophets that were saying the coming of the Messiah. And then it's Jesus's birth, his life, miracles, death, resurrection, second coming. And then it extrapolates it out to explain what the message is and how we all have the responsibility to make a commitment, and then the ends of prayer. And we launched that in November. We've had 1.4 million views. It's probably higher than that. And almost 100,000 commitments to Christ. We might've gone over, actually, I can look this morning and see. So it's just unbelievable how fast that that travels. And
well, that's amazing. If you say 9 minutes, someone might give you 9 minutes. They wouldn't give you, you know, an hour and a half. I'm not giving you an hour and a half, but you say, hey, this is a 10-minute video. Maybe this is a summation of what I'm trying to. They may do that. We'll watch longer YouTube videos than that.
Can air it on, so we put it on social media, send a QR code. Hey, we've been meeting, you know, for a couple of years, but I would love to tell you something that's the most important thing in my life. It's so easy to share now. It's very exciting, and we're a sight and sound generation, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're just now beginning to kind of tell the story now that we have that Real Story of Jesus film, and we have the first, you know, all the episodes of Jesus, 42 episodes. And so, yeah, we're very excited to tell people.
Well, Mark, this is why we have a video podcast. Nobody's asking to look at our faces, but I'll tell you what, when you, there are people who will watch this thing, two guys talk, and it's who we are. But you hit on a book that I think is one of the most vital books someone needs to put on their shelf. It's The Pilgrim's Progress. You took that and you made it where someone can understand it, you know, where you can go, okay, that makes sense. Tell me about that story.
Sure. So I will say first, I'm part of a team, and it takes a large team to make these things happen. Steve Cleary is the founder of Revelation Media, and Steve has a team call this morning, so couldn't be on today. But when Steve felt like he actually was executive producer of the film Tortured for Christ, which is a story of Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Romanian that was an atheist and then became a Christ follower and was imprisoned because he was a pastor. So Steve knew the value of visual media. He used to work for Voice of the Martyrs, and he thought about what would be a great story to tell and what would be something that he could create that would be a legacy he could pass on to his kids. And so he and Robert Fernandez, the writer and director, they cooked up the retelling of the Pilgrim's Progress story. So the Pilgrim's Progress, a lot of people don't know because there hasn't been like a massive movie like Chronicles of Narnia and Lord of the Rings has had, but the Pilgrim's Progress actually predated Narnia and Lord of the Rings by like 250 years. And it's one of the original hero journey stories. And it was written by a pastor in 1678 who was thrown in jail for like using the wrong approved version of the Bible or preaching without a license or, you know, something crazy. And you can imagine in jail, his prayer would have been, God, you've got to get me out of here so I can do something great, you know, for you. Or, you know, just so I can do something great. I'm not saying this, you know, self-serving or anything. And God gave him this story. And now this story has touched the world. It's the second most translated book in the world after the Bible, probably because it's been around so long. I would bet that the number of copies sold exceeds any other book other than the Bible. It's just hard to know because now that, you know, it's been public domain for so long, there are a lot of different versions of the Pilgrim's Progress out there. There's a kid's version that some people grew up on, but there's a, it's online for free. Revelation Media spent about $5 million making that movie. We put it in theaters and now it's in 30 languages. We took it to Bulgaria, my wife and I, put it in theaters over there, helped churches show it. We had churches with packed out movie nights with families. It was awesome. And it's definitely something everybody should watch. And they, you know, coming back around to the Bible, the story of Christian in this allegory is he comes across this book and this guy's missing. This guy's Faithful is his name. And he finds this book and this book is telling him that he lives in the city of destruction and he needs to journey to the celestial city. And he's got his family and his kids, but, you know, nobody can make that journey. He's got to make that journey himself. And then he can try to rescue his wife and kids. So it's just an incredible allegory. He meets evangelist. I mean, it's a very on the nose allegory, but watching the film is, I think, what every dad should do with their kids. Every family should gather around and watch it because it's just so instructive of the life of faith. And it's not about legalism. He reaches Legality Hill. There's 16 different locations in the movie. There's more than that in the book. But that predated the release of that was going on while the animated Bible version was also taking place and morphing into iBible. So, you know, we're into storytelling and we also have free movies. We'll put free movies online and, you know, alert our database. And so it's definitely worth checking out. And that's revelationmedia.com.
So this whole thing started as a blog, which was a terrible idea. But one of the first blogs I wrote was The Art of Storytelling. And I think we've lost the art of storytelling. You know, Deuteronomy is over and over and over, like when your children ask or in times when they ask. And I think we've lost that. You know, we've lost the generation who can sit down without any distractions and say, let me tell you what happened there. Let me tell you what I learned from that. But you're bringing that into a place that is digestible into 2024 and beyond. How does a grown man, let's say he has no kids, how could he utilize this as evangelism or discipleship?
Yeah. You know, just real quick, going back to your point about storytelling, I'm trying to remember who said it. It was either Charles Finney or Charles Spurgeon. They said that the church is empty because we tell the truth poorly and the theaters are full because they lie so well. And, that power of storytelling and the importance of passing. I mean, we forget the Bible was not printed until like whenever the Gutenberg press, you know, came around. And then a lot of people didn't have access to the Bible themselves. So this is definitely about making the Bible accessible and the story of God accessible, this and making that story known and how we fit into that story and how it's presented as truth. And in this day and age, when there are so many things, so much in question. I think probably has done more to undo a generation than 20 years of news media of just making people question their, making young people question their identity and who they are. And so I forgot your question, but you got me sidetracked with storytelling.
So I'm a 48-year-old man. I got kids, but let's say I don't, you know, and I have this thing and I listen to what you have to say and I check out the app. I'm like, this is phenomenal. So is there a way that I can incorporate this into my men's group or into the break room? That guy who, you know, makes fun of me, my faith, or whatever. I mean, there's so much, it's so rich. And so you say, one of the great challenges I find when I speak to guys, like, why do you not share your faith? Is they say, well, I don't feel like I know enough. Right. Could this be a discipleship tool for themselves to be more equipped to take that story then, even without the app, and just keep it in their pocket?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have these little QR code stickers that we're giving out, but somebody could just print those. You know, they can text it to a friend. We only have the first 42 episodes of Genesis. We're still going to have to do the rest of the Bible.
Good luck.
It's $2.5 million, actually probably more than that now, to get us to this point. It's going to take us another probably $25 million to get the whole Bible done. But now that it's actually getting released and hitting the streets and usable in the mission field, all free, we have more people coming to us saying, hey, we want to be a part. But yes, this is something that anyone can use. They don't have to have kids. And we're actually going to, for the first time in history, production, the cost of making telling a story is actually coming down. Because of Unreal Engine, video games, those environments, those photorealistic, you know, 3D environments. And so we're going to actually morph into that format from the motion comic format, which again, just makes the appeal even broader for younger kids, but also for older adults. And so that's underway already. And it's, and we'll be able to get it done faster and keep the expense down to only $25 million. So.
Let me ask you, you hit on it early on, and it had a question that's been lingering in my mind. When there are Christian entertainment things that are produced, one of the great pushbacks from some people is when they take creative liberty. I don't like they made him to be this or that. Hey, I don't know. I can't make any of that stuff. I don't understand how you do that. You reference kind of like, we don't add words that aren't there. We don't. Is that a challenge to create things like that where you stay strictly with the text when you go, yeah, but we could have, or, I mean, I don't know what the process is like. Obviously there's a big team behind you that does this, but what kind of challenges are created when you try to go, I can only go with what the text says?
A lot of challenges. We put our scripts out to experts and then even to our community to say, hey, take a look, see what you think, you know, and is there anything we're missing in the storytelling? There are a lot of great experts in how to tell the story of the Bible and how to make sure you get it right. You're not taking any liberties, but you're reflecting of what was written. You know, I think sometimes we tend to think, oh, well, this particular Bible verse or this story means this to me. And yes, I believe that that's true. And I think the Holy Spirit and God can put that on somebody's heart. But it was also written to mean something. You know, when it says that Moses did this, or that Noah was angry when his son said this about, you know, that's storytelling, that's emotional. So you can show that on screen without taking any creative liberty. So it is kind of a fascinating process of getting that. And every Thursday we do a behind the scenes email, just explaining things like that, explaining some of the artifacts that we're using and what we've seen, you know, in research and in archaeology, and why it's this kind of a blade for a knife and, you know, not a short little knife that we're used to these days, pocket knives and things. And just, it's fascinating that we've got a really, really great team.
Praise the Lord, man. One of the things I like is it's not cheesy. And sometimes as Christians, we do it a little hokey and you don't. So how do you maintain that standard of excellence, or how do you make, you know, the email is a good insight into that. Like, how do you make sure, like, we're not cheating the Lord. We're making sure he's getting the absolute best because he deserves it.
Yeah. You know, I've worked on a lot of Christian movies over the years and faith-based movies. And I think one of the reasons we end up with cheesy is because the storyteller loves the message so much and they want to get it out, and they're not willing to maybe up the production budgets, take longer, like we just want to get it done. And I think God uses that, you know, but this is because we've got a larger team, because we know what it takes to produce something well, you know, it's just takes the time and the effort and the money to do it. And so these illustrations are vivid, they're beautiful. And when we start getting into the Unreal Engine scenes and we can recreate some stuff that, you know, people haven't even really thought of before, of what the temple actually looked like, you know. I don't know about you, but whenever I had my Bible, you know, growing up, I got one of them in here. I loved getting into the maps, you know, and looking at the maps and the locations and the timelines. And so we have resources like that that go along with the app with every single episode. We've got questions that you could discuss either in a group or in a family. Or by yourself. Yeah, we just want to make it available and get it out to believers who can carry it to others.
You know, Jesus told us, be careful then how you hear. And they would have been primarily hearing and not necessarily reading, because it was being verbally, orally communicated back to them. We need to be careful how we learn, how we listen. And this is a tool that will complement what we're hopefully doing in the Word. And if you're a guy who's listening or watching and you say, just not very savvy in the Word, then do this. Get equipped here and then go get it in the written book and do that. So how do we support what you do? How do we get more involved?
Yeah, you can get the app on Easter. And it'll be in the App Store, iBible, or it'll be on i.bible. So the .bible domain is something the American Bible Society has helped make available to other people. And so we're trying to get the shortest, easiest domain. We use the I because of internet, because of information, because of iPhones, you know, all those. And so iBible. And I think when you see it, you see what's going on. There's a place in there where you can donate towards getting the Bible out to more people. I mean, to me, I kind of have a spiritual giving profile. I don't have a big Wall Street profile. I don't have any stocks. I've got a couple of investments into films, but this is something I think people can make part of their giving profile, just like the herd, you know, supporting the herd and supporting great things. So this is helping to get the Bible to the world. And I think it's definitely something that's very worthy.
Look at that commercial for the herd right here. Well, Mark, this is going the day after Easter. So you say it's Easter. Well, guys,
it's available now.
You subscribers who are faithful, just get your phone out. Well, don't do it while you're driving. But when you pull over, get your phone out, download the app, tell your kids you got something for them, or, you know, for yourself or whatever. I see guys who love to watch animated stuff. Why not get the word, build a library of Jesus in your heart? Hey, man, how can we pray for you and the work you guys are doing?
Steve and I have talked a lot in that team about, we're kind of surprised who supports and who doesn't support. You know, there are some people that say, oh, well, go to this family. They do all of this. It's like, well, that's not that one family's job to support all of this for the church. It's all of our jobs. Mm-hmm. So I just think if God puts it on someone's heart to help, then we just want those kinds of connections and for people to draw to it and help support it. We can get it done faster. We can't outgrow our production process, because if donations ramp up and then fall off, we have to lay people off and re-educate. So we just kind of do it. We're doing it slow and steady. But I just appreciate the chance to talk about it here and inform everybody and hope people enjoy it. You know, one of the things I think is cool is you might have met a guy that has an encounter with Jesus or with God. He's like, man, I feel like I need to read the Bible. So he pulls out his Bible and it starts with Genesis, and you're doing pretty good until you start getting into the begats, and then you get into Leviticus, you know, you just start bogging down in certain places. And I don't know of very many people that said, yeah, I got the Bible and I read from beginning to end. So that's why we tell people start with, you know, the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. start there. Mm-hmm. But this, when it's done, somebody could sit down and literally watch the story of God beginning to end. I think we estimate it'll take about 16 hours to go through the stories once we have them all done. Occasionally there are stories we start to decide we're going to break this into two stories. It's a collection of stories underneath the grand narrative.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you being on the show today. You guys, the link is in the show notes, so it's real simple. Just the first thing under the description, you just click on that. It'll take you there. For you guys in the herd, I got a couple more things I want to ask Mark, so we'll continue that conversation over there.